Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Big Joe Dubin. Michelle Konezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning as well. And as we do every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. How's everything?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, I was looking. It's always interesting when this comes out every year. Jeremy Fowler coming out with his piece where, you know, he talks about different position groups and executives and coaches and players all kind of pick the top 10 in those groups. And Jeffrey Simmons making some noise this year at number two in defensive tackle behind Aaron Donald. What did you make of that? And do you think Simmons has firmly established himself as the best defensive tackle in the game, outside, of course, Aaron Donald?
Yeah, I think that's just due praise for Jeffrey Simmons. He has established himself as that. And it's interesting because around this time last year when that series came out, there were a few who voted him number two. And some of them had – actually, one of the executives that he interviewed said that Jeffrey Simmons was making that ascension and – you know, outside of Aaron Donald, he was the most disruptive. So I think it's good he's getting that praise. And, you know, with him, it's more than just what you see in the stat sheet, right? Because you see him driving offensive linemen back and tipping the ball and it gets picked off, or driving him back into the quarterback and causing a rush throw. I mean, you saw that against the Rams. So, you know, that's something that's really not in the stat sheet, but it definitely has an impact on the game.
T, what did Bud Dupree show you at the end of last year as he was getting healthier, obviously coming off the ACL injury, and now that he's been healthy this offseason, with the money that he's being paid, what are fair expectations for Bud Dupree in your mind heading into this year?
Yeah, I think fair expectations are, you know, approaching double-digit sacks. I think that's fair for a guy of Bud Dupree's stature. But it's not all about sacks. You have to be able to impact the quarterback and also be strong against the run. And those are the things that he showed last year, you know, towards the end when that front four, like, it's not a coincidence that the front four really started to rise when he was getting better. And you just see how they use him on stunts and things like that, where they'll have him, you know, slash inside, and Simmons or whoever it may be, Autry, you know, will loop around. And he's just a big factor in those stunts and things that they do up front.
Teron, with, you know, part of the A.J. Brown deal was the fact that had he not get the contract with the Eagles, this could have gone into training camp, into the season, and, you know, and John Robinson and Vrabel didn't want distractions. So let me ask you this. You don't want distractions during camp. If Treylon Burks comes to camp that first 2 week and he's not in shape and on the field, how big of a massive distraction will that be? Because people, that's your number one pick, and it's going to be talked about. It's going to drive Vrabel nuts. How much of a negative impact would it be just overall if this happens with Burks when camp starts?
Yeah, that's a great question and great point. And as you were saying, distractions in camp, if contract stuff lingered in and they had Brown, I would say, well, they potentially may have a distraction anyway. So we're thinking the same. And it's funny, I swear to you, I had a dream last night that we were at one of the press conferences and I asked Mike Vrabel a question and he took out a picture of Treylon Burks. And it was about conditioning and took out a picture of Treylon Burks and showed it to everyone and didn't answer the question. So, yeah, it's definitely potential to be a distraction. Yeah, definitely. And it's just something, I mean, he absolutely has to hit the ground running, you know, and hit the ground running at this point is effectively going through a full practice.
Yeah, we need to get you away from Titans more. You take more vacation and not have fun. Not have Vrabel dreams, if you could do that. We talked earlier on the show about 2010, 11, 12, with the Patriots, with Aaron Hernandez and with Gronkowski, how they did the two tight ends because they had really no great receivers on that team. How good can these two tight ends be for the Titans with the young man out of Maryland and, of course, with Austin Hooper that came over?
Yeah, I think they could be really good. Like, I don't know about Gronk and Aaron Gonzalez level, you know, because those guys were really good. But I think we'll see a lot of 12 personnel, and it's something that they've liked to do before. And remember, Todd Downing was a tight ends coach, here, and then he had the same role in Minnesota. So make no mistake about it, he's very familiar with the position and knows that, you know, that's a good option. The thing I like about these guys is you could take them, go 12 personnel, and you could go empty if you want to do that. You could do a lot with what these guys are able to do, because not only can you motion the back out of the backfield and have him like a Hassan Haskins or Dontrell Hilliard, you could also have Chig Okonkwo flex to the slot. You could have him line up out wide. Same thing with Austin Hooper, and these guys could be really good pass catchers. And actually, you know, I wrote about that last week, just pointing to how the tight end position could help revamp the passing game.
Daron Davenport on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, TD, to that point, there's a lot of storylines heading into training camp. We brought up the Burks thing. There's so much to watch. Where does the evolution of Malik Willis kind of rank for you on that list? How closely will you be watching his progress come training camp?
Oh, I'll be watching that really closely just because I've kind of taken a personal interest in Malik Willis. Him coming to the Titans is something I still – it's crazy to me. But I'll be watching it. And the thing is, you know, as you get to training camp, you know, once you get into training camp, there's not as much time to – you know, like a week or so into training camp. You don't have as much time for that development side of things, you know, but you can still coach him. So I'll be watching that, just looking to see how they're working with his mechanics and just the operation, as they call it.
Is this going to be the most intriguing Titans preseason that you've seen since the, you know, you've come here to cover the team, just based on nothing else purely but him and how he looks in games?
It's a big part of it. It's definitely a big part of it. I would probably say yes, outside of when I first got here, because I was just trying to, you know, really learn the
right
team and the organization and everything. But, yeah, I mean, watching his development is going to be something that I'm looking forward to doing.
Do you get out of town before camp starts? What's your plan these next couple of weeks?
I'm going to probably head down to Knoxville for a weekend next weekend. I did kind of like a staycation, but I can't get away. I like it too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I did get away for a little bit in April before minicamp and before the draft. I was in Vegas, but outside of that, I just laying low.
That's why he's the best in the business.
Right,
Daron
yes.
Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. TD, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to join us, and have a great weekend.
Appreciate it, and I appreciate you. Good talking to you, Big Joe, on the go.
Yes, sir, TD. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
That's right. You as well. TD, our guest, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock.
I love his I think he's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think he's the best at covering this football team. I love his football knowledge. I love his breakdowns of the plays, especially during the real time. He's a great follow on Twitter during a game.
Oh, he's awesome. And he's, you know, X's and O's wise, TD can break it down in a way that I just love watching him cover
yeah.
football. It's
absolutely it is.
Amazing.
He's very talented. When we take a break, Robbie, there is somebody passed away yesterday that was in a couple of the biggest football movies of all time that I think we need to give the man his due respect. One, which is probably might be considered one of the greatest football movies of all time.
We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join 102.5, 106.3, The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, our goal is to raise $20,000, which will provide 1,000 pairs of shoes for kids, but we can't do it without you, so please consider helping however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer and thank you for your help. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group, a proud sponsor of Souls from Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Dubin, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you. People are just dying over your Bird Box comment about the old man.
Well, if you're just not joining us, Robbie has a rant about a guy at the gym who plays his phone on level 11 and everybody could hear it without the AirPods. And we talked about people at the gym. And I said, there is if you go to the locker room, especially at the Y, there's a lot of guys like to walk around naked in there, and they're usually over 60 and 70. And so I said, when I go change in the locker room, I act like I'm in the movie Bird Box. I just don't go. I put a blindfold on, hope I get my clothes on correctly, and get the hell out in no time at all. So
it really is. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah. It's crazy.
The Y is where I'm going, and I walked in a few weeks ago, and I was just like, whoa, man, what's going on in here?
Walk up, I'm like, hey, Big Joe, how's it going? I'm like, please, just let me get in and out of here in no time.
This is not the place to have this conversation, man.
How about them Titans? No, please don't. Oh, goodness. We could do a whole show on people you find out in the locker. All right, Robbie, so I said this. I didn't mean to hijack your show, but
you do whatever you want.
I'm a massive pop culture guy, So yesterday word came down that the legendary actor James Caan passed away. And, you know, he's mostly remembered for Sonny Corleone, the job he did, which is a quick, fun story. When James Caan did such a convincing job of playing an Italian mobster that he was honored the next year, and it was a great story, of Italian of the Year. And he's Jewish, right? So this organization honored him as Italian Man of the Year, and he's Jewish. And somebody said, well, were you going to tell them that you're Jewish? And he said, I'm not passing up a free meal, so <That's right. laughs> I never let them know. If they can't figure out, that's on them. But he's one. If you're a sports fan and you like movies, you have to see Brian's Song. Came out in 1970 about Brian Piccolo, who passed away, and his friendship with Gale Sayers, and Billy Dee Williams played Gale Sayers. The movie is just fantastic, and they don't pair it as black and white come together. It's just two guys who loved each other.
Yep.
And it's such a great, pure movie. And I mean, if you don't cry at the end when he's passing away and Gale Sayers in the room with him, then you truly have no soul. I mean, it is an amazing, pure movie that came out in 1970 that everybody must watch if you love sports.
Well, you bring him up, you're going to hate me for this. The two movies that I immediately think of and that I thought of when I saw the news were Elf, because he's the dad in Elf.
Right.
And Misery. You remember that movie?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Gosh. No, that's fine. Those are great. Those are both great. By the way, I hate Elf. I'm not an Elf fan, but he made a large presence in that movie loved it.
He did.
But Misery, he was so good in that. So good. And he's also in a movie that if you've never seen, it's another sports called Thief. It was really good. But he made another movie called The Program about college football that came out in 1993. Tennessee football fans will remember that The Program was – the football scenes were filmed during the Tennessee-South Carolina game in Columbia in October of 1992. So I remember friends of that game, yeah, they were filming a movie. I think Omar Epps is in that movie. It's not a bad movie. And he's the head football coach of that movie called The Program. But the guy's a legend. I mean, it was just you hate to hear that. But go see Brian's Song if you've never seen it before. He was also in another movie called Rollerball that came out in 1975 that is a cult classic. And if you watch the movie, go back and watch Rollerball, because what's funny about Rollerball is filmed in 1975. It's supposed to take place in 2018. And just to see what they perceive of 2018 being was like, no, it's not even close to all that. So Rollerball and, of course, Brian's Song and The Program are three sports movies that stand out.
That's like, you know, Back to the Future showing up in 2020. Like, what's going on around here?
Yeah, what's happening with that? All those, like, here's what the future holds and, you know, Escape from New York.
I was promised flying cars by this point.
Right.
Like, well, the Jetsons.
Have you been on I-24? There are some flying cars.
There are.
Shout out to our friends on I-24 who make that. Every time I go down to Murfreesboro, I always post the same picture of Mad Max Fury Road of all them chasing him down. To me, that's I-24 coming in and coming out of town any time of the day. That interstate, man, I just
it's
be
crazy.
Careful on that interstate.
Yep, no question about it. So TD was with us in the last segment, and we talked about kind of a few interesting things there that I'm looking for. How do you view the Malik Willis situation? Tannehill's the quarterback this year. I think we all know that. You know, Malik Willis, some people in the mock drafts had him going at number 6 overall to Carolina, and he slides all the way down to the 3rd round for the Titans. So it's pretty clear to me that a lot of the NFL views him as a project, and it may take some time to get to the point where he's a starting quarterback. I mean, he may never get to the point where he's a starting quarterback in the league, but how much does that pick and the idea of taking a quarterback relatively high maybe change the way people view preseason football and how excited they are to watch those games? Because I know for me, most of the time, quite honestly, preseason football is a major drag. I'll watch like the first 2 series. I'm like, all right, let's move on and do something else.
Still beta readings in most championship games and other sports. It's
unbelievable.
Nuts. If Malik Willis plays any this year or plays more than he should, it's a bad year for the Tennessee Titans.
Agreed.
I think it's a bad year. You know, I hope he turns out in his career to be a fantastic quarterback, but I just not think that if he plays this year, it's going to be good at all. There's no experience. I'd rather see Logan Woodside, and at least he's had time around camp and things that are going on. I didn't know Malik Willis started his career at Auburn and then transferred to Liberty, and I hope he has a great day. But you're right, he was expected to go early and then dropped, you know, and it wasn't like an Aaron Rodgers drop. I mean, it was like you got dropped into day 2 late instead of late in the first round like Aaron Rodgers. But I just think, look, it's a quarterback. All eyes will be on him. It happens every time they bring a quarterback in like that, especially that you drafted. Who was the guy that they drafted? Luke Falk? Was that the guy? From what? And he's like, he threw for 18,000 yards in one game, and he saved 7 kids as well during the middle of the game. All these great stories, and he came in, and he was just bad.
Yeah.
Bad. What I remember about Luke Falk when they drafted him in the 7th round, was it 17 or 18? I don't remember. As he gets cut. Oh, he got cut, and then it was 18.
Yeah.
And remember the team that picked him up?
I don't.
The Dolphins. Because that was the Titans'
that's
first opponent.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, what a brilliant move to bring in.
Is any inside information?
Yeah. And that was a game that took 15 hours to complete. That was Vrabel's first game, I think, in 2018, the game down in Miami. So, but anyway, Malik Willis, he's got to come in and he's got to learn the game. Because you always hear about it's at a different level, and it is at a different level. It takes time to do that. So, I know Mac Jones came in, but they didn't ask Mac Jones to throw 45 times a game and for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. Just manage the game and don't put the team in any trouble and make plays when you can. But you look in the playoff game against Buffalo, and we could have done a better job than Matt. I could at least, you know, hand the ball off and maybe hit a pass or two down the line. What did the game before that, he didn't throw a pass or one pass? The Monday night game?
Like 3 passes, yeah. Because the wind in Buffalo or whatever.
Yeah, and so they won the game. But if Malik Willis plays a lot this year, that's a bad year for the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I think it's going to be a slow process. The interesting thing to me is, you know, do they view him as the quarterback of the future? Do they know the answer to that question yet? And how are they going to go about kind of evaluating where he is and what he can do, when in all likelihood he's probably not going to play this year? I mean, I guess there's a chance that they could dress 3 quarterbacks and he could be active. Like, I think Logan Woodside's going to be the backup quarterback. So I think Malik Willis is going to be number 3. Are they going to dress 3 quarterbacks and have, like, special packages for Malik Willis? Maybe, but my guess is he's probably not going to play this year once the regular season comes around. So if you're Vrabel and the Titans, obviously you're working with him every day in practice, but as we know, the practice field's one thing. Being on the field in games is another. And I'm interested to see how this evaluation process of him is going to go throughout the year and where exactly they feel like he is without knowing for sure of him being in a game.
I just hope, for the simple reason that it would drive Jared Stillman insane, Tannehill comes out and becomes MVP of 2022 and leads his team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It would. I mean, I really think Jared Stillman would implode.
Well, what do you think? In all seriousness, like, what do you think Tannehill has to do this year to be the starting quarterback in 2023 outside of whatever Malik Willis does? Because Tannehill still is under contract the next year.
Yeah.
It's easier to get out of it, and the Titans could get out of it. But What do you think it takes from Tannehill? Is it a certain statistical number? Is it a playoff win? Is it a Super Bowl win? Like, what do you think that looks like for him this year?
I think it's 2019 2.0. I think he's got to do that, where he just put this team on his shoulders and ran with it. And I think you need a year like that where you make a nice deep run in the playoffs. I mean, look, they went and beat the Patriots and the Ravens on the road and had a nice lead on the Chiefs in Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. I think that is the thing that he has to do this year to show that he is the quarterback, and then that sticks him around for a couple more years. But they have to make a deep run into the playoffs. I'm not saying win the Super Bowl, but great numbers, win big games, and get to the playoffs and win games.
I agree, because I think he can have a good year in the regular season, and if you show up in the playoffs and it's one and done again, and especially if it's one and done and he's the reason why, like he throws a couple of picks, like the fan base is just going to be totally out. And not that you make decisions totally based on your fan base, but also, like, if you're John Robinson or Mike Vrabel or people in the organization, don't you look around and say, all right, well, that's 3 years in a row in the playoffs at that point where it's just not been good enough.
It's over. It's over. But, again, he lead this team to the playoffs, make a deep run. I think he's back. I think, but it's got to be 2019 and better for them to make that decision. It cannot be happened with last year. Nobody remembers the regular season last year. All you remember is what happened versus the Bengals in the playoffs. And unacceptable for the Titans, at least as they look, upon Tannehill like that. So he's got to elevate his game, and he's got 17 games to prove it.
We are your racing station. 102.5, 106.3, The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Quaker State 400. You can also join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for racing weekend. NASCAR on 102.5, 106.3, The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. I want to get Joe's thoughts on Mike Vrabel. Coming up next, we'll welcome more of your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 8:45. We'll take your called shots, your bold predictions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, coming up at 9 o'clock.
Big fan of his.
He was a co-host of mine at the draft show last night. So we'll get his thoughts on the draft.
Who'd you do the show with last night?
Chris Mason and Willie Donick.
Oh, so I guess you didn't talk for 2 hours. So nice. Glad you were there for that.
That's my favorite kind of radio.
Willie had an 8-minute and 47-second question for Jimmy Kimmel, who was drafted last night by the Preds. His response was, yeah, I think so.
Yep. I think that's probably going to be it.
Oh, my goodness. Any more responses on our text line for our discussion earlier?
Which discussion?
The one about the bird box. Oh, that makes me laugh.
There's just the people with crying, laughing, emoji faces. Viking Matt on the text line says the old guy in the gym was watching Cheers.
Nice.
I feel like the stories of people at the gym, we could probably do literally an entire show.
Oh, my goodness. Because you talk about there's those three to four types, the guys who walk around and talk nonstop. Then there's also the guy who comes in and he doesn't say a word and he lifts an insane amount of weights and leaves.
Yeah.
You're like, what is going on in that guy's world? I mean, he just threw up 405 pounds in the bench press. He squatted 600, doesn't talk to a soul, and leaves. Like, man, where's this guy?
For 15 minutes, just tosses a few up, says, all right, good enough for
Where's
me.
Where's this guy going? And what's
Every
going
day is
in his
Max
world?
Day, baby. We're getting in there.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, man. Good times. Great oldies.
It is great stuff here on the program. So, Joe, I want to get your thoughts on Vrabel. You've spent some time around Vrabel.
Yeah.
He just won the NFL Coach of the Year Award. They've had a winning record every year since he's been here with the Titans. You know, obviously he and John Robinson are kind of tied together.
Sure.
And they both just got contract extensions as well. I'm just interested, as somebody who's been around this franchise for a while, what sort of a coach do you think he is in terms of where he fits into the league pantheon? And do you think Vrabel is the type of guy at this point, based on his track record, that could be here for a long, long time?
I think he gets unfairly lumped in with Belichick because he played with him for 8 seasons in New England. But my thing is Vrabel's apparent love for his players is there. It's evident. It's palpable. I mean, you could feel that love has for his players. And you talk to the players about, you know, hey, you know, especially the rookies a few years ago when I was covering the team, and how, you know, Vrabel would talk to him, you know, before camp started and expectations, and my door is always open. And you hear that stuff from a coach, but then when a player tells you about how, you know, went and talked to him and how things are and he's got your back and all that, you see that deep love that the players have had for him for a couple of years. And plus, you know, if I'm Vrabel, I walk into every team meeting with my 3 Super Bowl rings on.
Yeah.
And to say, oh, by the way, what'd you guys say? And I'd cut my ear with the 2 rings on the finger to do that. But they know he's a guy that's been through the ringer. He's been through training camp. He's been cut. He's been hurt. I mean, he can sit there and say all the things these guys are going through. Like, I've been homesick. He talks about when he got drafted by the Steelers in 97, his first meeting with Bill Cowher. He's like, holy cow, Bill Cowher's going to kill me. And I, you know, that impression, so he was scared. So he's been in that seat. And, you know, there are a few like, well, when Belichick leaves, you know, Vrabel could go up to New England. Maybe he does. Maybe he does, and good for him. But right now I just see that apparent love that he has for his players and they have for him. And I think that's foundation of being a great coach and building a winning franchise.
I think so, too. And, look, I don't always – you know, I don't always love the way he does media stuff. No. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Can you win football games or can you not? And I think it's pretty apparent that he can. Now, we'll see if they can continue to build the roster and what this season looks like as they move forward here. The thing that stands out to me about him that is pretty amazing when you think about it. I mean, how many examples can we think of in the last 2-3 years where the Titans really have no business winning a game on paper, and they waltz in there and they do it. I think about the COVID game against Buffalo where
right.
you know, half their team's missing.
They had a practice before the game. That was it.
Derrick Henry was out last year against L.A. heading into Sunday Night Football. Everybody thought the Titans were done, and they come out and just dominate that game. Now, on the flip side, they've had some inexplicable losses, like against Houston last year and the Jets, and you got to get that part of it cleaned up, but it's the NFL. That happens to a lot of teams every year. But I guess his ability when things look bleak to dig down and find something extra in a group, you just don't see that a lot at any level.
No,
I think
I
that's
agree.
A pretty special thing.
I agree. And you talk about that Sunday Night Football game. There's no way they should have beaten the Rams.
Yeah.
There is no way without Derrick Henry. And by the way, that game is the one reason I don't bet a lot, because I would have loaded up on the Rams. The Titans went out there and just punched them in the face. I mean, that was a simple punch you in the face. What can you do? You're going to get back up. And they didn't get back up. And I credit Vrabel with that because he's been through that. There's a game in the playoffs where the Patriots played the Chargers. I think it was the 06 season out in San Diego, that the Patriots had no business winning that game. And Vrabel was on that team, and they beat LaDainian Tomlinson and Phillip Rivers in the playoffs. I think next week they went to the AFC Championship game where the Colts beat them. But to go on that out to that environment and win that game. I mean, Vrabel's been there, and he could tell these guys, look, here's what happened. Here's what went on. And now there's a point where in line where players might like, oh, here he goes again, talking about his time. But you hope they don't tune him out and listen to what he's going on. But there are a few games. But then the flip side, I mean, like the game last year in Seattle, they had no business winning that game.
Yeah.
They win the game. Then they go to play the Jets. And people say, well, the Jets – very rarely does an NFL team go 0-16, 0-17. Very rare. They're going to win games and play their best. And the Titans happen to catch the Jets at home. And if you don't play well in the NFL, you're going to lose. And they didn't play well.
Corey Davis revenge tour game. Yeah.
That's right. So that goes back on Vrabel's the head coach. I remember he took full blame for that. So that's what a head coach does. A good head coach.
Yep. And, you know, I start thinking about the history of the franchise since it shifted to Nashville. And obviously, you know, you start rolling through head coaches of Jeff Fisher and then Mike Munchak and then Ken Whisenhunt, and what a party that was.
Oh, God.
You know, it's been quite a journey to get to this point. You know, you always think about the glory days of Fisher and Floyd Reese and what they were able to put together. I start to think about, could that be something that this franchise gets back to? I mean, they've already gotten back to an AFC title game. You know, obviously they've not gotten to a Super Bowl yet at this point, but Robinson and Vrabel, I think, pretty clearly have established themselves as at least the second best GM head coach duo that this franchise has had. You know, there's obviously more longevity with Floyd and with Jeff Fisher as well, but it's a different era. I get all that in the NFL, but I think those two guys have a chance to be here for a long, long time.
Sure. You go back to Whisenhunt, the 2014 season. Remember the opening game in 2014? They go on the road to Arrowhead and just punch the Chiefs. Yeah. And they went 26-10 that game. I vividly remember that.
Whisenhunt in week one was unbelievable.
He was.
They destroyed Tampa the next year. It was right. Marcus and Jameis. Week and, one, that guy's unstoppable.
Yeah, and feeling good. But that 2014 season, when they started out, you know, 1-0, and then he proceeded to lose the next five games after that. Then it went straight down. But I think when Robinson came here in 2016, and the GM before Robinson, who's now went to the Falcons, what was his name?
Was that Ryan Webster?
Yeah, Rustin Webster. Yeah. I mean, that we could have picked better that with the team. So when Robinson got here in 2016, his team was awful. Yeah. I mean, it was an awful football team. So he rebuilt this team, and they have not had a losing season since John Robinson's been here. You know, and 8-8 is not a losing season. You're still 500. You're not losing. So you've built that team. You win the playoff games in 17, 18. You go in that last game, and Mariota can't go because of the injury, and they lose to the Colts with Andrew Luck on Sunday Night Football. But then 2019, the nice run. 2020 and 2021, they're losing the playoffs, and they've made their way up there. So, but this is the year that they have. You can't go another one and done. Yeah, I mean, you can't. I mean, what's worse, one and done the playoffs or not making the playoffs at all? I mean, it's like, you know, we had a bad season. We went 7-10, couldn't get there, a lot of injuries. Or, hey, we went 12-5, get the playoffs, get knocked out in the first round by the Bengals again.
Well, it's just, you know, the Bengals loss, I think, still to this Titans fan base is just such a punch in the gut. I mean, they've been the number one seed in the conference three times since they've moved here to Nashville, and they hadn't won any of those playoff games. Baltimore back in 2000, which is still probably the worst. And then in 08 against Baltimore again, and then, of course, last year against Cincinnati. So when you build yourself up throughout a regular season of feeling like, okay, this could be your year, and then it's one and done in the playoffs, that's such a punch to the gut.
I always loved the question, because they have the press conference before training camp starts. I've always loved asking this question. I've asked it to Fisher. I ask it to Munchak. I ask it to Whisenhunt. I ask it to Malarkey. And I ask it to Vrabel. I love this question that I get to ask because I'm the best. And that is, and I asked Fisher this. I remember said, all right, the team you put on the field tomorrow, can that team win a Super Bowl? And all coaches, Fisher's like, playoffs first. And then you get a few games. And then, you know, it's a process. He would never answer the question of that. And then Wisnut was like, yeah, I think we can win the Super Bowl.
Make some kicks down there, too.
Choices down there. You know, Andrews and Vince. You know, what's going on that level? But I look at the running backs for the Titans in 2014. You should ask Wisnut, can you win the Super Bowl with your team on the field tomorrow? Here's the running backs in 2014, okay? Antonio Andrews, Sean Green, who, by the way, still hasn't paid his parking ticket down in Franklin that he got from back then. Bishop Sankey.
Oh, yeah.
And then Leon Washington.
Oh, yeah.
And your quarterback is Mettenberger or Charlie Whitehurst. Now, you could look yourself with a straight face and say, yeah, we're going to win
with
those guys. Bishop Sankey, he was the guy that Rustin Webster, and I vividly remember him saying this, basically, they had kind of heard about him. Then they went down to the Senior Bowl, and he was able to pick up the blitzes during that week of training. I'm like, that's what I want to do. I want to draft a guy who can pick up the blitzes who I've never heard of, which goes back to Chris Henry being drafted in 2007.
Oh, man.
Because the guy's built like Thor, and he comes in here, and he plays like Jane. And it was just bad. And the thing was, is like, all right, we drafted him. He's got the talent. Now, Jeff, you go out and coach him up.
Yeah.
And Chris Henry, and I got a quick Chris Henry story.
Please
for
do.
You. All right. One of my favorite players to cover was Kyle VandenBosch, right? Because Kyle VandenBosch went at speed 10.0, practice game, whatever. So they had 11-11, and Chris Henry busted the line of scrimmage, and he goes about 70 yards, right? So about the 15-yard line, Chris Henry starts slowing down to walk because, I mean, it's preseason. I mean, it's practice. Now, the corner of my camera lens is this blur number 93, right? It's VandenBosch. Full speed sprint. Gets Henry about the five-yard line, knocks a ball out of his hands. It goes out of the end zone. And Chris Henry stops, and then VandenBosch circles back, and as he's running by him, screams, and I can't cuss on the radio, basically says, finish the play.
Yes.
But it was peppered with a bunch of other expletives that we can't say right now.
Yeah.
And then VandenBosch sprints fully back. And we all were laughing at the time, like, Chris Henry, when he's 40 years old, will never be able to describe what just happened to him right there because his soul was just taken by Kyle VandenBosch.
Yeah.
And I remember, my goodness. And so Chris Henry is one of those guys that they took that, all right, go out and do this and do whatever. So they've had these awful draft choices throughout the years. And not saying John Robinson's had the perfect draft, but he's hit on some winners big time. Some of his first-round guys, they're out of here. But he's hit on some really good players.
Yeah.
So you can't fault him the whole time. But anyway, I just thought that. I always loved that story.
That's a great story. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. It is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your bold predictions in the world of sports coming up next. This baseball season turned K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code ROB, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. I like the Yankees. They've been very consistent all season long, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great promotions every day. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid quickly as well. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with using promo code ROB to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 8:45. We'll take your called shots, your bold predictions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, coming up at 9 o'clock.
Big fan of his.
He was a co-host of mine at the draft show last night. So we'll get his thoughts on the draft.
Who'd you do the show with last night?
Chris Mason and Willie Donick.
Oh, so I guess you didn't talk for 2 hours. So nice. Glad you were there for that.
That's my favorite kind of radio.
Willie had everybody an 8-minute, 47-second question for Jimmy Kimmel, who was drafted last night by the Preds. His response was, yeah, I think so.
Yep. I think that's probably going to be it.
Oh, my goodness. Any more responses on our text line for our discussion earlier?
Which discussion?
The one about the Bird Box. Oh, that makes me laugh.
There's just the people with crying, laughing, emoji faces. Viking Matt on the text line says the old guy in the gym was watching Cheers.
Oh, just beautiful. Nice.
I feel like the stories of people at the gym, We could probably do literally an entire show.
Oh, my goodness. Because you talk about there's those three or four types, the guys who walk around and talk nonstop. Then there's also the guy who comes in and he doesn't say a word and he lifts an insane amount of weights and leaves.
Yeah.
You're like, what is going on in that guy's world? I mean, he just threw up 405 pounds in the bench press. He squatted 600, doesn't talk to a soul, and leaves. Like, man, where's this guy?
For 15 minutes, just tosses a few up, says, all right, it's good enough for
where's
me.
Where's this guy going? And what's
every
going on in his
every day is max
world?
Day, baby. We're getting in there.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, man. Good times. Great oldies.
It is great stuff here on the program. So, Joe, I want to get your thoughts on Vrabel. You've spent some time around Vrabel.
Yeah.
He just won the NFL Coach of the Year Award. They've had a winning record every year since he's been here with the Titans. You know, obviously, he and John Robinson are kind of tied together.
Sure.
And they both just got contract extensions as well. I'm just interested, as somebody who's been around this franchise for a while, what sort of a coach do you think he is in terms of where he fits into the league pantheon? And do you think Vrabel is the type of guy at this point, based on his track record, that could be here for a long, long time?
I think he gets unfairly lumped in with Belichick because he played with him for 8 seasons in New England. But my thing is Vrabel's apparent love for his players is there. It's evident. It's palpable. I mean, you could feel that love has for his players. And you talk to the players about, you know, hey, you know, especially the rookies a few years ago when I was covering the team, and how, you know, Vrabel would talk to him, you know, before camp started and expectations, and my door is always open. And you hear that stuff from a coach, but then when a player tells you about how, you know, went talk to him and how things are and he's got your back and all that, you see that deep love that the players have had for him for a couple of years. And plus, you know, if I'm Vrabel, I walk into every team meeting with my 3 Super Bowl rings on.
Yeah.
And to say, oh, by the way, what'd you guys say? And I'd cut my ear with the 2 rings on the finger to do that. But they know he's a guy that's been through the ringer. He's been through training camp. He's been cut. He's been hurt. I mean, he can sit there and say all the things these guys are going through. Like, I've been homesick. He talks about when he got drafted by the Steelers in 97, his first meeting with Bill Cowher. He's like, holy cow, Bill Cowher's going to kill me. And I, you know, that impression, so he was scared. So he's been in that seat. And, you know, there are a few like, well, when Belichick leaves, you know, Vrabel could go up to New England. Maybe he does. Maybe he does, and good for him. But right now, I just see that apparent love that he has for his players and they have for him. And I think that's foundation of being a great coach and building a winning franchise.
I think so, too. And, look, I don't always – you know, I don't always love the way he does media stuff. No. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Can you win football games or can you not? And I think it's pretty apparent that he can. Now, we'll see if they can continue to build the roster and what this season looks like as they move forward here. The thing that stands out to me about him that is pretty amazing when you think about it. I mean, how many examples can we think of in the last 2-3 years where – the Titans really have no business winning a game on paper, and they waltz in there and they do it. I think about the COVID game against Buffalo where
right.
you know, half their team's missing.
They had a practice before the game. That was it.
Derrick Henry was out last year against L.A. heading into Sunday Night Football. Everybody thought the Titans were done, and they come out and just dominate that game. Now, on the flip side, they've had some inexplicable losses, like against Houston last year and the Jets, and you got to get that part of it cleaned up, but it's the NFL. That happens to a lot of teams every year. But I guess his ability when things look bleak to dig down and find something extra in a group, you just don't see that a lot at any level.
No,
I think that's a pretty special thing.
I agree. And you talk about that Sunday Night Football game. There's no way they should have beaten the Rams.
Yeah.
There is no way without Derrick Henry. And by the way, that game is the one reason I don't bet a lot, because I would have loaded up on the Rams. The Titans went out there and just punched them in the face. I mean, that was a simple punch you in the face. What can you do? You can get back up, and they didn't get back up. And I credit Vrabel with that because he's been through that. There's a game in the playoffs where the Patriots played the Chargers. I think it was the 06 season out in San Diego that the Patriots had no business winning that game. And Vrabel was on that team, and they beat LaDainian Tomlinson and Phillip Rivers in the playoffs. I think next week they went to the AFC Championship game where the Colts beat them. But to go on that out to that environment and win that game. I mean, Vrabel's been there, and he could tell these guys, look, here's what happened. Here's what went on. And now there's a point where players might like, oh, here he goes again, talking about his time. But you hope they don't tune him out and listen to what he's going on, but there are a few games. But then the flip side, I mean, like the game last year in Seattle, they had no business winning that game. Yeah. They win the game. Then they go to play the Jets. And people say, well, the Jets – very rarely does an NFL team go 0-16, 0-17. Very rare. They're going to win games and play their best. And the Titans happen to catch the Jets at home. And if you don't play well in the NFL, you're going to lose. And they didn't play well.
Corey Davis revenge tour game. Yeah.
That's right. So that goes back on Vrabel as the head coach. I remember he took full blame for that. So that's what a head coach does. A good head coach.
Yep. And, you know, I start thinking about the history of the franchise since it shifted to Nashville. And yeah. Obviously, you know, you start rolling through head coaches of Jeff Fisher and then Mike Munchak and then Ken Whisenhunt, and what a party that was.
Oh, God.
You know, it's been quite a journey to get to this point. You know, you always think about the glory days of Fisher and Floyd Reese and what they were able to put together. I start to think about, could that be something that this franchise gets back to? I mean, they've already gotten back to an AFC title game. You know, obviously they've not gotten to a Super Bowl yet at this point, but Robinson and Vrabel, I think, pretty clearly have established themselves as at least the second best GM head coach duo that this franchise has had. You know, there's obviously more longevity with Floyd and with Jeff Fisher as well, but it's a different era. I get all that in the NFL, but I think those two guys have a chance to be here for a long, long time.
Sure. You go back to Whisenhunt, the 2014 season. Remember the opening game in 2014? They go on the road to Arrowhead and just punch the Chiefs. Yep. And they went 26-10 that game. I vividly remember that.
Whisenhunt in week one was unbelievable.
He was.
They destroyed Tampa the next year. It was right. Marcus and Jameis. Week and one, that guy's unstoppable.
Yeah, and feeling good. But that 2014 season, when they started out, you know, 1-0, and then he proceeded to lose the next five games after that. Then it went straight down. But I think when Robinson came here in 2016, and the GM before Robinson, who's now went to the Falcons, what was his name?
Was that Ryan Webster?
Yeah, Rustin Webster. Yeah. I mean, that we could have picked better that with the team. So when Robinson got here in 2016, his team was awful. I mean, it was an awful football team. So he rebuilt this team, and they have not had a losing season since John Robinson's been here. You know, and 8-8 is not a losing season. You're still 500. You're not losing. So they've built that team. They win the playoff games in 17, 18. You go to that last game, and Mariota can't go because of the injury, and they lose to the Colts with Andrew Luck on Sunday Night Football. But then 2019, the nice run. 2020 and 2021, they're losing the playoffs, and they've made their way up there. So, but this is the year that they had. You can't go another one and done. Yeah, I mean, you can't. I mean, what's worse, one and done the playoffs or not making the playoffs at all? I mean, it's like, you know, we had a bad season. We went 7-10, couldn't get there, a lot of injuries. Or, hey, we went 12-5, get the playoffs, get knocked out in the first round by the Bengals again.
Well, it's just, you know, the Bengals loss, I think, still to this Titans fan base is just such a punch in the gut. I mean, they've been the number one seed in the conference three times since they've moved here to Nashville, and they hadn't won any of those playoff games. Baltimore back in 2000, which is still probably the worst. And then in 2008 against Baltimore again, and then, of course, last year against Cincinnati. So when you build yourself up throughout a regular season of feeling like, okay, this could be your year, and then it's one and done in the playoffs, that's such a punch to the gut.
I always loved the question, because they have the press conference before training camp starts. I've always loved asking this question. I've asked it to Fisher. I asked it to Munchak. I asked it to Whisenhunt. I asked it to Mularkey, and I asked it to Vrabel. I love this question, though. I get to ask because I'm the best. And that is, and I asked Fisher this. I remember he said, all right, the team you put on the field tomorrow, can that team win a Super Bowl? And all coaches, Fisher's like, playoffs first, and then you get a few games, and then, you know, it's a process. He would never answer the question of that. And then Wisenhut was like, yeah, I think we can win the Super Bowl.
Make some kicks down there,
choices
too.
Down there, you got injuries and Vince. You know, what's going on that level? But I look at the running backs for the Titans in 2014. You should ask Wisenhut, can you win the Super Bowl with your team on the field tomorrow? Here's the running backs in 2014, okay? Antonio Andrews, Sean Green, who, by the way, still hasn't paid his parking ticket down in Franklin that he got from back then. Bishop Sankey.
Oh, yeah.
And then Leon Washington.
Oh, yeah.
And your quarterback is Mettenberger or Charlie Whitehurst? Now, you could look yourself with a straight face and say, yeah, we're going to win
with
those guys. Bishop Sankey, he was the guy that Rustin Webster, and I vividly remember him saying this, basically, they had kind of heard about him. Then they went down to the Senior Bowl, and he was able to pick up the blitzes during that week of training. I'm like, that's what I want to do. I want to draft a guy who can pick up the blitzes who I've never heard of, which goes back to Chris Henry being drafted in 2007.
Oh, man.
Because the guy's built like Thor, and he comes in here, and he plays like Jane. And it was just bad. And the thing was, is like, all right, we drafted him. He's got the talent. Now, Jeff, you go out and coach him up.
Yeah.
And Chris Henry, and I got a quick Chris Henry story.
Please
for
do.
You. All right. One of my favorite players to cover was Kyle VandenBosch, right? Because Kyle VandenBosch went at speed 10.0, practice game, whatever. So they had 11-11, and Chris Henry busted the line of scrimmage, and he goes about 70 yards, right? So about the 15-yard line, Chris Henry starts slowing down to walk. Because, I mean, it's preseason. I mean, it's practice. Now, the corner of my camera lens is this blur number 93, right? It's VandenBosch. Full speed sprint. Gets Henry about the five-yard line, knocks a ball out of his hands. It goes out of the end zone. And Chris Henry stops, and then VandenBosch circles back, and as he's running by him, screams, and I can't cuss on the radio, basically says, finish the play.
Yes.
But it was peppered with a bunch of other expletives that we
little
can't say right
in
now.
There. Yeah.
And then VandenBosch sprints fully back. And we all were laughing at the time, like, Chris Henry, when he's 40 years old, will never be able to describe what just happened to him right there because his soul was just taken by Kyle VandenBosch.
Yeah.
And I remember, my goodness. And so Chris Henry is one of those guys that they took that, all right, go out and do this and do whatever. So they've had these awful draft choices throughout the years. And not saying John Robinson's had the perfect draft, but he's hit on some winners big time. Some of his first-round guys, they're out of here. But he's hit on some really good players.
Yeah.
So you can't fault him the whole time. But anyway, I just thought that I always loved that story.
That's a great story. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. It is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your bold predictions in the world of sports coming up next. This baseball season turned K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code ROB, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. I like the Yankees. They've been very consistent all season long, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great promotions every day. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid quickly as well. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with using promo code ROB to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley alongside Big Joe Dubin, Michelle Konezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning as well. We'll take your bold predictions in the world of sports as always. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Michelle Konezovic, would you like to kick us off this week with your bold predictions in the world of sports?
Yes, I would love to. Okay. So this one is an old one, but we're just going to revisit it. The Cincinnati Reds will not win more than 57 games.
Oh,
That's as many games that Tennessee baseball won. So
that's
they
correct.
Will not win more games
the same.
Than Tennessee baseball. Philip Forsberg will sign after 4 o'clock on the 12th.
Okay, after 4 o'clock.
After 4 o'clock on July 12th, obviously. July 13th is NHL free agency, so it'll be late. And then three more schools will be added to the SEC by the end of the month.
By the end of the month, okay.
Yep. I don't know which three schools, but three schools will be added. And Gronk will play for the Bucks this year.
Well, I like that one.
Yeah.
He has retired, but I don't know if I believe it.
I also got the, sorry, that was Hanley in the background saying, so did Tom retire.
That's true.
I also did have the called shot that Baker would be traded to the Panthers, so I get a check for that one.
Baker Mayfield, next quarterback of the Panthers. By the way, you pointed this out earlier.
Thank you.
What's he getting paid that first week? It's like
$560K? $588,325. The Browns will pay Baker Mayfield to
probably beat
to
them.
Beat them on week one as they face off each other. I'll do mine real quick.
Okay.
My bold prediction is I will not watch a second of Major League Baseball this weekend or any kind of soccer, so pass on that. But I will watch. Last night I watched the 1986 AFC Championship game between the Broncos and the Browns. So any kind of old football, I will watch that. But I'm not watching a second of anybody of any Major League Baseball.
So you are you a person that can go back and watch games that you already know the outcome.
Absolutely.
Of. Because there are some people that can do this no problem, and I can with certain games. Like there are some hockey games that I know who have won. I can go back and watch them.
Yeah.
But there are some people that look at you like you're nuts. Like. The whole point of watching is because you don't know what's going to happen. If you know what the game, what the score is, why are you watching?
Well, I mean, like the 86 game when Elway came and they beat the Browns up there. I mean, that is an epic, legendary football game that I love to watch. I've seen it probably 50 times.
Yeah.
I don't mind watching it, but I'm not watching the second of Major League Baseball at all. You know what? Here's a bold prediction for me. And when it happens, you can mark this and play it next week when you have your little buddy Adam on the show. Is that Forsberg signs with the New Jersey Devils. I don't know why.
Really?
I don't know why.
Okay.
I think because it's not gotten done now that his agent's like, hey, we need to go where we can market you really good. You'll be in that New York, New Jersey area and all that, and you'll be the star of the team. He signs with the Devils.
So Philip Forsberg to the New Jersey Devils.
That's me. You can call me crazy. I do not care.
Prediction. I want to make that clear. That's prediction. That's just joining us. I'm not reporting anything.
That's a bold prediction,
I like
Cotton.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, so I think he signs. Friday. I think they would already had it done. I think there's more of a problem than meeting in the middle over a few $100,000. I think his age, like, let's get you. And he might sign with the Kings, go to L.A. and be a big star out there, but I just think he signs with the Devils.
Okay.
God, if he does,
good
you will, I will be insufferable. I'll be calling this show
every day. Hey, yep. Remember that time I predicted Forsberg to the Devils?
I'll drive by Willie's house in his palatial estate in East Nashville with a bullhorn up and down all hours of the day. Tell Willie, I told you so, all day long. And he's going to send out Plaster to fight me. It'll be a fight in the streets in East Nashville. Hold on a second. I'm going to counter you with this left hook here. I'm a southpaw. All right, sorry.
This has been a banner day for you here on this program.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're in mid-season form. There's no question about it.
All right, Robert, what about you, buddy?
I'll immediately counter. Philip Forsberg will sign an 8-year deal worth $8.5 million per year on July 12th. I'm not going to go after 4 o'clock like Michelle did. That was a very specific time, which I like. It's very good stuff.
That's next Tuesday, correct?
That is next Tuesday.
Okay.
Correct. So, but on July 12th, it will be announced. Philip Forsberg, 8 years, $8.5 million. Again, this is a prediction. I'm not reporting anything. This is just a prediction of what I think will happen. Evgeny Malkin will not re-sign with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So that trio that we've seen there forever of Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang, two of the three are under contract. Chris Letang signed a big contract yesterday, 6 years at basically $36 million. I don't think they're going to have enough room for Malkin, and I don't think he's going to re-sign with Pittsburgh. So I think he ends up somewhere else. So that's my other NHL prediction. And I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. The Tennessee Volunteers will beat the Florida Gators this year for the second time in the last 16 years. Second time in 16 years.
Now, do we consider that a bold prediction?
They haven't won since 2016.
God, sit down, man. Get in my face.
Listen, he gets real Vol crazy when you try to disrespect.
Okay. Well, she's a Tennessee fan. She knows.
That's right.
Big Rocky Top fan, big Tennessee baseball fan.
At one point in your evolution here in Nashville, you will turn into an Alabama football fan and a Kentucky basketball fan, which you already halfway are.
Yeah, you're already halfway there.
It happens, Michelle. It happens. These same
Those
Alabama fans
favorite.
That weren't around before 2007, Saban, and you always love, all right, name me the coaches, and this really irate to Alabama fans, and I don't care. It's like, who are the coaches before Saban? Well, I mean, I would like Derrick Henry. I know, name the coaches. And they – half of them flame out.
It's like the Blackhawks fans before 2010. Can't find many of them.
Right.
It's not in there.
That's what I say about baseball. Like, you know, all these Yankees, it's easy to be a New York Yankee fan, right?
Sure.
It's easy. But it's hard to be a Reds fan. It's hard to be a Royals fan. I mean, it's just hard. It's easy to hop on the bandwagon. That's so easy to do. But you look at somebody like for me in the 80s when it came out with the Braves and the Cubs, you had to pick because they're on cable TV all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But you become a big Braves fan. They were terrible.
Yeah.
But you enjoyed them. You could have easily hopped on this bandwagon as other teams that win all the time. It's like the Chiefs fans now, I mean, with Mahomes. But this is something about fans. I said this, and when the draft was here, I got asked, and I did a couple national radio shows during the draft happened. Humble brag again, Michelle. Make sure you flag that one.
Slight flex.
Is that they said, all right, which fan base showed up in Nashville? And I said, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the one fan base that to me was over anybody else were 49er fans.
Yeah.
They took over downtown Nashville. And you start telling people, like, yeah, I did see quite a few 49ers. I mean, they were everywhere.
Yeah.
So fan bases you don't expect, it's like, like I know they were strong in the 80s, but the 90s and 2000s, they were pretty bad. You know, after like 98, 99, and 2000, it's a bad football team, but there were so many 49er fans that came to town during the draft. That stood out to me when it happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom in Clarksville on the text line says, my called shot is the Atlanta Braves will win 100 games this season and repeat as World Series champions. This is coming from Tom from Clarksville.
Mark that down, Tom. If it doesn't happen, you owe Robbie and I a all-you-can-eat sushi buffet here. That's in town.
Also, that's in honor of Big Joe here, I have one more quick called shot. Uh-oh. Kentucky football will beat Tennessee in Neyland this year, and I'm going to go to Neyland for the game.
Wow.
First time ever there. So, mark it.
All right, we're going to a little bet here, okay? If Kentucky wins, which they won't, Robbie and I will take you to Burger King. If Tennessee wins, you will take Robbie and I to the sushi train in West Nashville.
Yes,
all
correct.
You can eat. Thank you.
That is correct.
So it's a win-win for all.
I want Chick-fil-A.
All right, Chick-fil-A, you got it. But it won't be the next day because they're closed.
That is correct.
And then I'll forget about it come Monday. But I will not forget the sushi train. You've been to the sushi train in West Nashville?
I hear it's great.
Oh, it's just sushi on a little conveyor belt. And I eat 45 plates, and it's fantastic.
Rebecca on the text line says, I'm with Joe. Forsberg won't sign with Nashville. So you have support.
I think it would already been done. And watch, at 9:05 he signs with the Preds. I don't know. I'm just the guy, the pest. It's good. If you're pessimistic all the time, things like that, when he does sign, you feel good about yourself. I just feel some weird. Maybe it's because I saw the Putty episode of Seinfeld with the Devils just two nights ago. Maybe that's because it's on my mind, but I don't know. I got a bad feeling he doesn't sign here.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the draft for the Predators and the Forsberg situation as well. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.